This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawn and grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks, it's Rule 76.
And here we are. We've shown up now more than the Giants. October the 18th, 2021. The show is DPHRO and Rothenberg. I mean, week six of the NFL. Not great games yesterday. Certainly the early games were very, very disappointing. But a day of football is still a day of football. And we say good morning on this Monday to a man that actually has reads and will do a little work today. And that is Rick DPHRO. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. Good morning. Hey, Santy, play my music, would you please? I'll tell you what, Dave. Here's a song the Giants will not be playing anytime soon. Welcome to our house, which has been a house of horrors for the New York Giants. House of horrors. And I love every second of it. Because I'm not sure if you knew this or not yesterday. So I got the Seahawks who lose, which is good for me because we have the Jamal Adams first-round pick in that deal.
Yeah.
And on top of that, because the Jets win the bye, and we don't have to struggle through watching them, that loss yesterday makes the New York Giants the worst team in the NFL since the start of the 2017 season.
A couple things here. When your barometer is the Giants, as we're so bad, but we're better than the Giants, that doesn't say a lot about you. I wouldn't be wearing that as a badge of honor, as if you're so ultimately proud that you're better than the Giants. Stink. They stink. And I've said it for years now. And here's the thing. I don't know that it's getting any better. It might be getting worse. And this idea that, well, you know, it's a slow build. A slow build to where? To where? Rick, how many guys are on this team that you look at and say are part of the team in 3 years? I'm sure Dave Gettleman behind closed doors is a great guy. Let's break bread. Let's chat about life and history and all sorts of great stuff. As far as a GM is concerned, he is abysmal, awful. Everyone is to blame. Everyone. The head coach, the GM, the players, the ownership, everyone. I feel sorry for me, and I just feel sorry for the fan base at this point. I mean, it's non-competitive. It's almost like you feel dead inside watching this team. I don't even know what to say here.
Well, it doesn't help, too. I mean, you saw a great first quarter. I mean, actually, for me watching that game, I mean, you sit down, real positive start. Right? I mean, you get the holding penalty because for some reason, you know, Board decides to take it out of the end zone. You overcome that. You had the sack fumble. You end up recovering that. You go all the way down the field. I mean, the Giants are the first team this season to score on an opening drive against that defense.
Yep.
So positive. And then all of a sudden, Leonard Williams decides he wants to show up. Had a really good first quarter. And then all of a sudden, slowly but surely, wheels fall off. Just under 5 minutes left in that first half. I mean, that was the nail in the coffin, right? I mean, they score 14 to make it 28-3 going into half. I mean, that last touchdown, 73 yards in a minute and 41 seconds. And then from that point on, I mean, could it get worse? Yeah, it got worse in the second half because they didn't show up out of the locker room.
They quit. And you got to listen to this because as a Giants fan, and you know, it's embarrassing at this point. And we could almost replay. We should take Mondays off because we could just play the same show over and over and just have like them dub the different team. It's embarrassing against the Cowboys. It's embarrassing against the Rams. You know, I'll just do it this week. Like, we'll make it generic. We'll say the Giants didn't play well. The defense didn't show up. Daniel Jones turns the ball over. There's a lot of injuries. Gettleman is bad. I'll say the Panthers, and we'll dial in at 6 o'clock next Monday morning.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I would much rather get your in the heat of the moment reaction like today or yesterday during the chat where you were nasty to poor Ray Santiago.
No, because Santiago's a jerk. I am so done with you can't go anywhere on social media. Seriously. So I mean,
what did I do?
I'm sick of it. I was so good, and I bit my tongue and I said nothing until that's the defensive player of the year. The guy got run over like a truck earlier in the game when Damian Harris ripped one off for like 19 yards. So sick and tired of your, and I'll say it at this point, act. Sick and tired of it.
I don't understand. I was just playing along in the conversation
it's
we
old,
had last
it's
week.
It's old, it's tired. No, because you always year. Take shots. And all said, I want, and I don't know, if I knew things. How, if I knew how to get out of a group chat, I would be out of that group chat.
No, you can't.
I don't know if I can mute it. I don't know what I'm. I hate that group chat. I would rather take my toenail out by the hole than be in that group chat. I hate that group chat on Sundays. I hate it. I try to be a good sport. Here we go. Oh God! Here we go again. And then the one that it set me over the top yesterday. That's the defensive player of the year.
That's the one that sets you over the
over
top.
Over the top. And I'm biting my tongue. Oh, look at this. Oh, the Jets are better. Oh, the Giants aren't that. Oh, look at this. Oh, the Rams. Oh, they don't show up. What an embarrassment. And I say nothing. And I'm everything within my power. And then I'm watching the Cowboys and Dak fumbles the ball away and Dak gets intercepted. I'm like, you know what? Say nothing. Just say nothing. Just be quiet. And then a guy who gets a deflect. He's beaten on the play. The ball's poorly thrown. He picks it off, takes it for a touchdown. And then that's my defensive player of the year. And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't. Then I'm on Twitter. That's the defensive player of the year. And I lost it. I lost it. All right, and then the next play, the guy gets abused like he had no vision. I mean, abused. And then this guy, clearly there was a miscommunication in the coverage. Maybe he's just not as good as you think he is.
No, he's good.
He's good.
No, he's good. That was on the safety.
That was on the safety, Dave.
Of course it was.
It should have been an interception. I mean, he let off because he thought the safety was going to intercept it.
Of course. Yeah,
listen,
you know what?
Seriously, we can continue that conversation later.
I don't know who started the group chat. Get me out of the group chat, please.
You can't. That Santiago happened. Does not have an iPhone. You can't eliminate yourself.
Even if I did.
Of course he doesn't.
You couldn't.
If there was one person on the group chat who wouldn't have an iPhone, it's Santiago.
I won't be part of your cult. I'm sorry.
Of course. God, I mean, I've never, he might be the most annoying person I've ever met in my entire life on football Sundays.
Oh my God.
I mean, really.
Very hurtful.
Honestly.
I still can't believe he was quiet the entire game. Quiet. We were going back and forth. He's quiet. And then it was just that one text message. There's the defensive player of the year that just set him.
I couldn't because I can't believe him anymore. He's so annoying.
We can't even repeat the things that were said in this chat. The horrible, vile things. I was saying in the pre-show meeting that if I got hit by an 18-wheeler on the way to work today, you'd probably say, good, he deserved it.
I would never root for it, but there is something called karma, and I hate to be.
How
I'm not.
Karma?
I will not be walking close to you in dangerous situations.
Oh,
under scaffolding,
God.
On the streets where dangerous people are around, I'm not going anywhere near you.
I was going to actually offer to do your reads today because you'd be in a bad spot, but now I don't know.
No, I'll do them because I'm the pro that I am. I'll do them beautifully, is what I'll do.
Second half of the show, you'll quit. I can guarantee it.
Well, you know what? Wouldn't be anything different than what I saw from my team yesterday. And then to make matters worse, then I have to tune into the post game and hear sound bites from Joe Judge. You're going to lose your mind, people, if you haven't heard this. Here's Joe Judge with his message to the football team.
Yeah, we'll come back. We're going to work. We got things to improve on. So we come back on Wednesday. You know, it's time to get going to work. You know, get your bodies right, get your minds right. You know, we'll come around. We'll look at wounds around here. There's a lot of ball left to be played. Our goal every week is to go 1-0. Our goal is to get better every week as a team, as the season progresses. That goal doesn't change. You talk about the big picture. Yeah, the big picture is the little picture. It's next week. The big picture is how we handle next week. How we practice, how we improve, how we prepare, and how we come out and we execute. So that's our focus has to be as immediate 7 days from now. We got 7 days to get ready for another good opponent coming in here. And that's where our focus has to be.
I'm sick and tired of it. This is coach speak to the highest level. You're getting worse. Our goal is to get better as the week goes on. You're getting worse. Your team quit on you. It's unwatchable. There's nobody left in the fourth quarter of these games. It's like a high school game with the amount of people, and he has the same rhetoric every single week.
Well, I mean, also, you've been ravaged by injuries, too, right? We'll play a fun game here in one of these segments. Can Dave Rothenberg guess who was on the field for the New York Giants offense? It's going to be a fun game. Listen, I love you like a brother, and I think no one knows more about the Giants than you. You're going to have a hard time with this game.
Probably so. I think so.
You know what the other thing, too, is? And it drove me crazy when I watched it. Couple things. All right, here's the first one. I said all week, if I was the Giants, I would protect Daniel Jones. I wouldn't play him. Did Daniel Jones look right to you yesterday?
No.
Okay, was Daniel Jones an option to run the ball, to use his legs? Except for that ridiculous quarterback. You got a friggin' fullback, and you got Devontae Booker, and you're doing a quarterback sneak with the guy just coming out of concussion protocol.
They did multiple quarterback sneaks with him.
What are we doing? It's ridiculous. So what did we talk about at the end of last week? And then what Dan Orlovsky, I mean, he cemented it after I said it. If Daniel Jones doesn't use his legs, he is not a very good quarterback. So if he's not an option to use his legs, and you're going up against the Los Angeles Rams defense, where, I mean, there were times during that game that the whole defensive line was just meeting at the quarterback. I mean, it doesn't help that this is the sixth different offensive line combination you've had in 6 weeks.
Well, but don't worry. Gettleman's going to fix it. Have no fear.
Well, he hasn't
fixed it. Mollies are here.
Well, he hasn't fixed it. And then as soon as Kadarius Toney leaves that game, the offense was huge. I mean, that's the one bright spot. That dude is special. But he leaves with the ankle, and it was...
And apparently, he wasn't right in warm-ups either.
He was slipping around in warm-ups.
Yeah, they said that he wasn't right in warm-ups. But let's just play him anyway.
How many red zone touchdowns do you think Daniel Jones has thrown this year?
One.
Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, zero. They're the worst red zone team in the NFL right now.
They're lousy. They're bad from top to bottom.
Dave, we thought the Jets were bad, right? Like, we spent so much time focused on the Jets and how bad they are, you know, awful starts or whatever else. The Giants have scored 13 points combined in the first quarter in 6 weeks. 13 points. I mean, you're not going to win a lot of football games like that.
Well, they don't. And
getting behind early like that.
And I think you have to now start. And I know we've been like, well, Judge is going to escape through. I don't know. I mean, if your ownership and you, I mean, you talk about a recipe of disaster yesterday. You're honoring a great franchise, right? You're honoring a team that went on this epic run and won a Super Bowl 10 years ago, and nobody even cares. I mean, the fan base, I was sent a photo of what it was at halftime, the amount of people in the stands. Nobody cared. Everyone was inside. People are so turned off. You don't like the coach. There's like two guys that you like on this team right now. The GM has to be gone. The whole thing is a disaster. It starts from the top all the way down. I don't even know. I said it to start the show. They're getting worse. You know, we're now 4 years into the Gettleman regime. They might be a worse team right now than they were when he started.
Yeah, but it started before that. It did. I'll never forget. I mean, we had Canty on. When Canty and I started doing the show together, it was me. Canty was actually a guest. He was in Baltimore. He would come on with me and Alan. And then eventually, you know, after he retired, he joined the show. And I'll never forget it. He went over to the Giants practice facility and watched practice. And he said, for some reason, he steps into the building and everything felt different. It didn't feel like the Giants he played on. That whatever it was, culture, whatever word you want to call it, it wasn't there anymore. And, I mean, even go back to Jerry Reese. Forget Dave Gettleman. I mean, when you don't draft well and you don't have, you know what I mean? Like, and there's so many changes, you know, with head coaches, transitioning to Dave Gettleman. Like, there's no stability. There's no continuity. I mean, you don't draft well. Now, all of a sudden, like, who's carrying on the traditions? Nobody.
Nope. Because
nobody's around long enough. I mean, it's a mess, man.
Since
2017 has been awful. What do you expect the fans to do? Sit around?
No, I don't blame the fans.
You've been outscored.
I don't blame the fans whatsoever.
You've been outscored 82-38 at home. 82-38 at home. Who wants to sit and watch that?
Nobody. And you know what? If there's 50,000 people next Sunday, they deserve it. I don't blame the fans at all. This has been years, Rick. Years.
You've won 19
football.
Games since 2017. 19.
Every Giants fan looks back at the 70s. Right. Oh, God, it was so bad, and they were so horrendous. I don't know that it was any worse than this.
No, this is brutal, man. It really is, and you're right. I mean, it's probably only going to get worse. because, and I've been around coaches like Joe Judge. If they don't have winning to back up their message, does not play well in the locker room at all.
But these post game press conferences of one game at a time, and we're gonna dig in now, we're gonna fight it. Enough. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Well, that's who he is, man. I mean, he comes from Saban, he comes from Belichick. Do you think that Belichick, like, listening to some of the former players that aren't real, like, that aren't Patriots for life, that just drank the Kool-Aid right away, he's the one that gave them their shot, so he's, you know, that player's indebted to him. That's what Bill Belichick, that's the secret sauce, just so everyone knows. That's the secret sauce to Bill Belichick, is giving guys opportunities, they have success, and now they feel like they're indebted to him, so they buy into everything he says. Like, Darrelle Revis the other day, I'm listening to him, and one of the guys was like, I think Brandon Marshall was like, your guy Bill Belichick, and Revis was like, that's not my guy. Do you think players want to deal with a coach like that if there's no, like, if there's no winning to come with it?
No, I don't know if they like it when there's guys that don't want to deal with it when they're winning.
But you'll tolerate it because you're winning.
That's right.
And usually when you're winning means, you know, you're playing well, you're going to get paid well. So if I don't have the winning to back up his message, which as a fan you're getting sick of. Can you imagine being in the locker room every day with
that? Digital tough guy.
Yeah, you probably roll your eyes. So we have a lot going on today. Rex Ryan at 7:35. We have Around the League at 6:45, The Frenzy at 7:15. We're going to take a lot of Giants calls. I envied you yesterday. I'm like, this lucky SOB, he doesn't have to watch his team. Wow. That's what it is. That's how bad it is that your team doesn't play. And I'm like, man, how fortunate you are that you don't have to watch your team play. That's where I am as a Giants fan.
I got to be honest, it felt good too.
I'm sure.
Oh, like I made cleansing. That chicken salad on the everything flagel with the pea soup. Oh,
probably like a cleansing, like a colonic. A football colonic is what you had yesterday.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting the chance to watch, you know, football Sunday with the Jets on a bye is like a football colonic. So, I mean, I got to take the small wins. Seattle loses, which is a small win. And now, I mean, for the moment, the Jets don't have the worst record in the league since 2017. The little things, Dave.
The little things.
Mets stunk, right? Jets stink. Islanders off to a bad start. Like, I don't even know if he can play Chara anymore. Love the guy, but, I mean, he's, to say slow is probably an understatement. And now, I mean, what else do I have?
You don't have a lot.
I got the Knicks to look forward to.
That's right. Wednesday night, the Knicks and the Celtics right here on 98.7 ESPN. Very exciting.
That Quinn Grimes looks like a good player too, man.
That would be nice.
I'm excited about this team.
I don't know how you couldn't be. We'll get to the Knicks as the week rolls along. But the Giants are the topic of the day. And, oh, what great conversation we're going to have. Let's take a listen to some more Joe Judge. Wanted to see some effort from this team regardless of the scoreboard.
Yeah, you know what? I challenge the guys at halftime. I want to see who's going to finish the game. I want to see what kind of fight some of these guys had. We'll go through the tape, but there are some guys I could see with the eye test right away. There are some guys that fought and finished right there, and that's how we're going to do things around here. So we're going to compete for 60. We got to do some things technically better, fundamentally better, better calls at times, but I want to see who's going to finish this game, who's going to fight.
I can't listen anymore.
You challenged them at halftime. Did you see what happened when they came out of halftime?
Yeah, they came out and took a knee.
Took a knee? I mean, the Giants had one possession in the third quarter because the Rams had the ball for 9 minutes and 15 seconds on their first possession.
Up and down the field. Up and down the field. Stafford did whatever he wanted to do yesterday in that game. Anything. Darrell Henderson took your manhood. And you're going to sit here and talk about, I'm going to challenge guys or we're going to see who responds? No one responds. Nobody.
I was telling the guys yesterday, you know how, like, during all these games I take notes on the games just so I don't forget stuff?
What do you mean you were telling them yesterday? When was this, like a private group chat?
No, I was telling them during one of the breaks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've already fast-forwarded to tomorrow. So I was telling the guys, as I'm sitting there during the first possession, writing, the Rams are now running the ball down the Giants' throat. Schlereth is like, wow, this is demoralizing.
Yeah,
when you know exactly what they're going to do.
He said this is worse than like a big play home run.
Yes.
Because they're just going like 5 yards, 8 yards, 7 yards, 8 yards. And you know what they're going to do and you can't stop it. And now he's sitting there saying, well, we're going to compete all the way for 60 minutes. I mean, stop it.
No, but you didn't. I mean, you didn't. And I mean, the progress that you made the last couple weeks, I mean, the 2 weeks leading into this game, offensive line didn't allow a sack. You know, Daniel Jones had only turned the ball over twice. All that gone. I mean, 3 turnovers in the first half. I mean, the Rams had, what, 21 points off the Giants turnovers yesterday?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, there was nothing good to take out of that game at
nothing
all.
Good to take out of the game, but this is where they are. I bet you there's not a Giants fan listening right now that if I said at the end of the season they're going to completely clean house, they would take objection with that right now.
How many times? We've actually had conversations on the show where you have to settle me down because I get so aggravated that pass interference is called and the ball is clearly not catchable. It happened twice yesterday. Twice. Where there were defensive pass interferences that you know, flags were thrown.
Yep.
And then the referees come together like, nah, there was no chance he could catch that.
No, it wasn't even close. Sorry. We'd love to give you the flag, but we just can't. It was so, you know, it was on a different field. This is what they are.
I don't understand why you play him in that game, and then you keep him in for the entire game.
Oh, my 11-year-old is like, why is he still in the game? Down the stretch, throwing over and over. And then you get the announcers. These are very important moments here. Very important moments. Oh, yeah. This is vital.
He's got to build chemistry.
That's what they're saying. Because the points 4 through 11 will really change the future of the Giants.
Daniel Jones probably did not sleep well last night, I can guarantee it. I'm hoping he gorged himself on fast food and then
I hope Burger King and McDonald's.
Yeah, and then thought about what happened. But he'll have Taylor Rapp nightmares for the whole week. Because he was just, I mean, just knew exactly what Daniel Jones was going to do before he did it.
At least the offensive line is fixed. Let's take a listen to Daniel Jones. what do you think of the boos yesterday?
What did I think of it? Yeah, they're upset. We didn't play well. We're certainly upset about that too. So I get it.
Great. No, this is just wonderful. Let's go.
What do you want him to do though? That's the thing. I don't want to make excuses for the kid. I don't think he should have been playing in the first place yesterday. But it's like, you know, I hear people on Twitter and everything else. Well, Daniel Jones needs to learn to get rid of the ball. He can't hold it. Well, I mean, do you see who's playing receiver for him? You think guys are open? Like, how quickly do you think these receivers are getting open? Or how fast does Matt Peart get beat off the line? Or Nate Solder get beat off the line?
Nate Solder should not have come back.
And Evan Engram drives me nuts. Nuts. The level of talent that kid has, not to be a dominant tight end.
You have to move on.
Is a problem.
Here's what you have to do. And this is why I think I would move on from Gettleman now. Not just to make a statement. Put someone that you have some semblance of trust in to at least do the right thing as this year moves on before the trade deadline, like Evan Engram and anybody else that you might want off this roster that has any semblance of value. You have to trade them. You're not going anywhere. So what are we going to hang on to Engram? Hang on to guys that have no business being here into next season?
Yeah, but who are you going to trust to do that, though?
That's my point.
Joe Judge? Like, who are you going to trust?
I don't know.
See, the Giants are in a weird spot because what you want now is you want some stability. You would like, you know, some continuity because they haven't had it. I mean, McAdoo and then Shermer, and yep. Now you got Joe Judge. I mean, that's – you can't have a new coach every 2 years. You can't.
You might.
It's not a recipe for success.
It's not a recipe for success, but what are you supposed to do? I mean, if you go 3-14 this year, how could and you look like that, how can you bring him back?
Well, I don't think you can. But now all of a sudden you're back to square one.
Maybe even in worse shape than square one.
I mean, unless, it goes back to the conversation we were having last week. Unless, you know, whoever you bring in feels like there's enough talent or they can add enough talent where the addition of like a Russell Wilson or something could make all the difference.
Well, I think Russell Wilson makes a difference regardless of how talented you are. But how talented are they? What guys on this roster?
I mean, how talented are the Seahawks?
Say, what?
Honestly, how talented are the Seahawks? Look at both rosters and tell me how much more talented the Seahawks are than.
I mean, they have a couple of really good receivers.
Are those receivers? I mean, is Tyler Lockett because such a good receiver? Because Russell Wilson's such a good quarterback? I mean, DK Metcalf is a freak of nature, but their offensive line has been trashed to the point where he was going to retire. No, he wanted to be traded because he's getting hit too much.
And still does. Yeah, no, listen, I don't think the Seahawks are, but he's great. But I would still say the Seahawks are a better roster. I think the Giants are bad, like really, really bad. Their roster is awful. And they have guys that you look at with name value that don't play well. And therein lies a problem as well.
It feels like the Yankees is what it feels like.
Yeah, but come on. At least the Yankees have moments of greatness.
No, listen. I'm just saying, as far as we knew going into the season, depending on who you asked, you had the owner come out. And no owner likes to get in front of a microphone and answer questions when his team stinks. And he said, this has been embarrassing. We need to be playing meaningful football late into the season, right? And then you had experts look at this roster and say, okay, the addition of Dory Jackson, you have McKinney healthy, defense should be better. They were really good last year. Big surprise. I think this team can compete to win the NFC East. So there was, I mean, on paper, there was talent, right? I mean, Leonard Williams coming off a really good season. Like, there was talent. And then you had Kenny Golladay and Saquon's coming back. But you're right. I mean, you know the names. You know that there's talent there. They're just not playing well. Like, James Bradbury is not playing well.
Nope.
At all.
Nope. They're bad.
But, like, up until, yeah, I mean, yesterday in the first couple of possessions, Leonard Williams has been a non-factor this season. Right? Like, he hasn't been great.
And look at how you got him. You traded for him. You traded for a guy you could have had as a free agent. I mean, almost every move this guy has made. So it goes, I mean, this is special. Right? You need to be really bad as an entire organization to be this egregious, this poor for so long.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
And that's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you.
Oh, big congratulations, Rick. Very appropriate. Clearly, Santiago is in a good way today. Very much on top of things. The drummer for Blink-182, Travis Barker, engaged to
Courtney Kardashian.
Courtney Kardashian, I believe, right? Yep. Big news.
That's the baby mama of Lord Scott Disick.
He's a lord?
Well, that's, they call him Lord, yeah, Lord. Lord Disick. Makes a nice, I'll tell you what, though. He makes a nice sweatshirt and sweatpant.
Who does?
Lord Disick.
What do you mean? He has a clothing company?
A company, yeah. Make hoodies,
really?
Sweatpants, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I think he always thought that they would get back together, but for some reason...
Oh, I guess it could be over. That pains
musician.
Me. Yeah. You know what? I was wondering why I didn't feel right this morning, and I guess that...
And then Scott Disick was actually... He was dating Lisa Rinna's daughter.
Oh, Lisa Rinna from Harry Hamlin fame.
Exactly right.
Oh.
And they weren't too happy about that. Old Harry Hamlin wasn't overly excited about that.
I could see why.
Causing some controversy.
All right, speaking of people that are not very happy, I think we're going to have a lot of them today. 800-919-3776. Let's start out with a very unhappy Edgar in the Bronx. Good morning, Edgar.
Good morning, guys. I love you guys. Wake up to you every morning at 5 a.m. on the dot. I love the show. After what I saw yesterday, I blame John Mara. Not only, I know he's the owner, but he's also the team president. For the past 10 years, the Giants have been mediocre, and yet they've been downgraded to a downright disaster. When are we going to start holding him accountable? Because it hasn't worked. Nothing has worked with John Mara for the past 10 years. I think the Giants should just tell him, hey, own the team, but step down, hire a firm to get a new
Who do you, Edgar, who do you want to tell him this? Who's going to tell the owner?
It would have to be Steve Tisch.
But owners who are also team presidents are not working. Look what's Jerry Jones. You know, Stephen A. Smith always says, oh, the Cowboys are a disaster waiting to happen, or accident waiting to happen. The Giants are perpetual accident. When you do traffic updates and there's a crash on the highway, oh, the Giants. It's the Giants. Something needs to change. I'm not saying he should sell the team, but at least somebody or even the board of directors or whoever should say, hey, it's not working. It's been 10 years. Let's get some new voices in here. Let's get a new voice and fix this thing. Because under him, it's not working. What are we going to do? We'll hire another GM, force him to keep Joe Judge, and then keep this insanity going? I'm just tired of it. I wonder what you think.
I agree with you. I mean, it's not going to happen, though. They're not going to – who's going to – no one has control. The only one is Steve Tisch that has any modicum of control or say when it comes to the Mara family.
Well, that would have to be it. I mean, Steve Tisch is the money guy. He would have to be the one that put his foot down and said enough is enough. Like this whole, you know, we're going to hire Dave Gettleman because he knows how we like to do our business. It's not working.
No, that doesn't work anymore. You need to find someone fresh and knowledgeable and cutting edge from outside the organization. No more of if they signed, you know, the other Mara who's in scouting, Chris Mara, I guess, or Kevin Abrams or one of these guys, nobody wants it anymore. Do you realize that they were forced into George Young in 1979? And since then, they've gone in-house every single hire they've made as far as a personnel guy is concerned?
Yeah. I mean, we're having those conversations when they hired Dave Gettleman. We all said immediately, once we heard Dave Gettleman's name mentioned, that would be the guy. As much as Giants fans were screaming for Lewis Riddick, I mean, they have this thing about, you know, we want guys that we know that have been in the building that know how we handle business, which sounds to me code for, like, the owner likes to be involved in a lot of these decisions, so you're going to have to deal with that.
It's brutal. Let's take a listen to Logan Ryan on the Giants' loss from yesterday.
Extremely disappointed. It's not acceptable. I mean, honestly, it's not acceptable. That's just it. I think we had to go out there the second half and fight the best we could, try to earn some respect back, but it just hasn't been acceptable, the result. So it's not good. It's not good for the fans. Not good for, you know, anybody outside the building. It's not good inside the building. So it just hasn't been acceptable, and we'll do everything I can to try to change that and make that better.
I give Logan Ryan credit. I mean, fully suited and booted, got out in front of a microphone and answered the questions.
Yeah, but
because he feels
change.
Like one of the leaders on that team.
Yeah, it's great, and they say the right thing, and you know, 1 week at a time, and it's not acceptable, and I'm going to change it and be a leader. But I mean, do you think it's going to change?
At the moment, no. How could you? I mean, between what you saw in that second half to the amount of injuries this team is dealing with right now, I mean, Tony's clearly. I mean, who knows if he'll be back or how many weeks they're going to have to give him off? I mean, Saquon dealing with the sprained ankle, Galladay dealing with another injury. Andrew Thomas clearly isn't right. He had to leave the game.
Yep.
Shelton didn't finish the game. I mean, yeah, this is worst case scenario right now.
But nobody wants excuses. No, nobody.
Of course
not.
Look
at the Ravens. Ravens ravaged by injuries. I mean, you know what? Really, nobody wants to hear how you're all banged up.
Well, look who their quarterback is. And oh, by the way, I mean, can we start giving Mark Andrews some respect as one of the best tight ends in football?
He's excellent, isn't he?
Dude is awesome. Awesome. But Lamar Jackson plays at an MVP level, man. So you can make up for I don't know, talent deficiencies, or you can make up for injuries. Like, look what happened yesterday. I mean, that's one of the games of the weekend against a really good Chargers team, and they slapped them around.
Oh, they obliterated them.
They abused them. I had Lev Bell score a touchdown. Every running back scored a touchdown. I mean, Lev Bell, listen to the running backs. Lev Bell.
Devontae Freeman,
and Latavius Murray all scored touchdowns.
Yeah.
The guy's phenomenal, man. Phenomenal. You guys don't have that. You're trying to figure out whether or not you have something like that. But again, I said it last week. If Daniel Jones can't use his legs, he is a very average quarterback. What makes him worthy of the sixth overall pick is his athleticism. It's, you know, it's the RPOs. It's the zone reads. It's stuff like that. And he wasn't available to do that yesterday, although they did the stupid quarterback sneaks for some reason.
Yeah, multiple quarterbacks.
Made no
sneaks.
Sense to me at all. None.
And then the one they didn't get, which is just phenomenal, too. D in Queens.
Yeah, have
morning,
a fullback,
D.
though. Yeah, you know how big Eli Penny is?
Yeah, he's an enormous man. Yep, mountain of a man. D in Queens. Good morning, D.
Hello?
Hello, D.
Hello?
Hello, D.
Hey, how you doing, man? Yeah, what's going on, buddy? You guys actually brought up two names, Lamar Jackson and Lewis Riddick, that relate to my point. Like, John Gruden is an idiot, but he was talking to league officials, other GMs. There's no one with eyes that says Joe Judge should have his job or should have even gotten the opportunity. And same thing with Adam Gase. And Lewis Riddick is getting locked out. Lamar Jackson got drafted as low as he did. I mean, what's going on with the league? I mean, someone needs to just have the courage to sue the league, because this is – Joe Judge is like, you know, exhibit A in a court case of what's going on with the NFL, where these guys who don't deserve it get opportunity after
Colin Kaepernick
opportunity
did,
and they're terrible.
Colin Kaepernick did sue the league. Colin Kaepernick
yeah,
and Eric Reed did
actually,
sue the league.
He might actually be able to get more money.
Oh, no, they came to an agreement.
Based on those emails.
No, nah, they came to an agreement. That ship has sailed.
No, this is actually part of the agreement. You could go get more money if
no,
stuff
can't.
Or
no,
information comes out.
It's over. And you know what? You want to say you don't like Joe Judge. I don't think anybody likes him now. If we had the same conversation 6 weeks ago and he makes that call, he sounds like an absolute fool.
Well, again, though, this is why you're in such a tough spot, though, is because, I mean, first of all, you have so much football left, right? So the potential to have this team just completely quit and embarrass themselves worse is on the table. But the other thing, I think we all just assumed, because most people liked what Joe Judge did last year, right?
I think almost everyone did.
Okay, so you felt like everyone likes where this is headed with Joe Judge. most people can't stand Dave Gettleman. So what will happen here is Dave Gettleman will, whatever you want to call it, right, retire, whatever he ends up doing, they'll move on from him. And because everyone loves Joe Judge, now all of a sudden Joe Judge will kind of be the face of the team and will help you find your next GM. I mean, now you have to question that. I don't know.
Right now, if I said to you, is Joe Judge back as head coach next year, your answer would be?
After what I saw in the second half of that game, especially because he made a point to say he challenged guys at halftime, and the Rams came out on that first possession and had the ball for almost 10 minutes and just jammed it down your throat, I would have a hard time.
You're 1-5, and it doesn't get much easier. What do you have, the Panthers this week, then Kansas City for the nation to be able to
Monday
watch?
Monday night.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear Eli talk about that game.
Then you have Derek Carr and the Raiders, who played well yesterday. Then
that
you
was
have
a huge win for them
the
yesterday.
Bucks. I mean, you really could be staring. Like, I'm not exaggerating when I say this could be a three-win team this year.
Well, there's so many things that behind the scenes happens now when you're in a situation like this as a player, too. It's because, you know, as a fan, you obviously feel like, you know, I turn the TV on, it feels hopeless. Like, this team's not going to win, especially that game. Like, no one felt like they were going to beat the Rams at all, right? But then as a player, too, it's, you know, you start cutting corners because you don't feel like, you know, your team is competitive. Like, maybe I'm not watching extra video. Maybe I'm not, you know, hitting the weight room like I normally would. Maybe I'm not pushing back from injury as quickly as I normally would. Because you're saving yourself for what? To go get embarrassed? To look like garbage every week? It's not the kind of tape you want to put out there. So they're in a tough spot. They really are.
And it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Anthony, Staten Island. Good morning, Anthony. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. The state of New York sports isn't that good. And I just have a question for you guys. Like, you know, I mean, with how angry the Giants fans are and, you know, Jets fans aren't that much happier. And, I mean, we're living in a world where the Knicks are the bright spot probably for New York at this point. But the question I have in my mind is how is it that New Yorkers are so quick to then just say, hey, fire Cashman? I mean, the only organization that's done so well, you know, as far as, look, you're getting to the playoffs every year. Whether people think that that's a good, you know, good or not, it's you know, they've won a lot more games than almost any other team other than the Dodgers, right? And into the playoffs probably, or have playoff experiences, you know, appearances other than the Dodgers. You know, but again, as New Yorkers, we're like so quick to be like, you know, fire this guy. He's got to go. Like, it's been so easy for us to find GMs and people to run, you know, organizations, you know, and have success. Like, we're not the Red Sox who just basically tear it down, build it up, in the playoffs, we're going to win. Like, it just doesn't happen here. But we're so easy to want to just dismiss people. Just want to hear your take on that. Cause it's,
yeah, but Anthony,
no
let me
sense.
Ask you a question. Anthony, you're a Yankees fan, obviously?
Absolutely.
Okay, and I agree with you. Like, the whole notion that you should fire Brian Cashman to me is ridiculous. Because you know who likes making the playoffs every single year? Is Hal Steinbrenner. Because that means more money in his pocket, right? Could you, as a Yankees fan, deal with what happens with the Red Sox where they're, I mean, they do tear it down and then build it back up? Like, could you deal with that?
You know, that's a good question, right? Because, again, I don't know the answer, but I don't know, you know, that maybe you guys should poll that, right? Would people, you know, would New Yorkers rather have, you know, a garbage year, right? With, you know, rebuilt for a year or two. In the Sox case, it's like a year in their back, right? Always. Or would they rather win every year and have something to watch? You know, and
I mean, look
and
at Rangers fans.
Competitive.
I mean, the perfect example is Rangers fans. I mean, they sent you a letter that they were going to rebuild,
and the Rangers fan was fine with it.
Well, yeah, for a minute. Like, no one ever told David Quinn that, hey, by the way, you got to start making the playoffs now. And they got rid of the whole front office. That really is ultimately the problem. We spent all this time blaming the GMs. Like, Islanders didn't get it right until the ownership decided we're going to step away. Right, we're not good at making or participating in hockey decisions. We're going to step away. Lou Lamoriello is going to run everything. And look how that turned out. Hal Steinbrenner lets Brian Cashman do what Brian Cashman is going to do. We got too many owners. And finally, I mean, the first time in a long time I can remember, you know, James Dolan feels like he took a step back from the Knicks and is letting Leon Rose and Tibbs do what they need to do.
Yeah, and this is the first time in forever that you're actually excited about the Knicks.
I think a lot of the time you hire GMs. Like, the reason why, you know, Chris Johnson hires an Adam Gase or whatever it is because these owners feel like they want to be a part of it. And guess what? You're not good at it. You're not qualified to
do
it.
Well, why would you? Why should you be good at it?
Because it's your toy. It's your team. You want to be a part of it.
But you shouldn't be good at it.
No, but there's plenty of guys that think they are.
Lots of them. I mean, George Steinbrenner thought he was good at it. Jerry Jones thought he was good at it.
Yeah, but the beauty of George Steinbrenner is that once he did make a mistake, he would rectify the problem.
He would just outspend the problem.
Yeah, exactly right, because that's their biggest strength. Don't run away from it. Embrace it.
Yeah, I agree. 98.7 ESPN giving away up to $2,000 every week of the football season with the Pigskin Payout. Be listening in the 7 o'clock hour today for your chance to win. We're raising the stakes with DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael Kay Show only on 98.7 ESPN, your home for football. What do you think the Giants spread is this week? They lost 38-11.
Home against Carolina?
Home against Carolina. Yeah, what do you think the spread is?
I'm going to say the Giants are getting 5.5.
See, I agree with you.
It's less than that.
It's jarring, the spread in this game to me.
Giants plus 2.5?
Yeah, 2.5.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't know if I agree with Sam Darnold either.
I mean, that team, that Carolina team without Christian McCaffrey, I mean, he may win the MVP by not playing. Because without him, team struggles.
But you expect the Giants to win this game now?
No, I don't.
No.
No, I don't. But, I mean, it's not like, you know, Sam Darnold is lighting the world on fire right now.
I understand. But you know what? You were competitive. You went overtime with Minnesota. Now you take on the Giants?
Yeah, listen, I can't explain it. I mean, I watched that game. I've watched all six of these games with my own two eyes. And the Giants right now, I mean, again, what do they do well?
Not much. They had one. I mean, let's be fair. They had one good 8-minute run against New Orleans. They were down 21-10 in that game.
Yeah, they were down 11. Yeah, I mean, that game wasn't looking good up until that point.
Very easily could be right there with the Lions. Right there, neck and neck with the Lions.
Yeah, there have been some turning point moments for this team. Oof. Where conversations could be completely different.
It's terrible. It really is. It is just awful. Weak. I don't even enjoy watching the Giants anymore.
Well, how could you, though, man? I mean, there wasn't a point during that game outside of the, probably, what, the first drive, and then you depress because Tony's ruled out. And then, you know, Leonard Williams in the first couple possessions showed up. You know, you look good in the first quarter, and then once that, I mean, it was over. It was a wrap.
Over.
How the first half ended.
And the second half started?
Exactly right.
That was a hell of a run. They really honored that 2011 team.
So what, it was 4:53 to go in the first half when they scored the 14 points. And then they had the ball for 9 minutes and 15 seconds to start the second half.
Correct.
So it was that 14-minute span, 15-minute span, where they completely just kicked your teeth in.
Eric in Queens. Eric, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's everything?
It's fine.
Listen, I was at the game yesterday, and the amount of Rams fans that showed up to Giant Stadium, I mean, we could have been playing in L.A. It was ridiculous. This whole organization just has to go from top to bottom. Gettleman, Joe Judge. I don't know where Danny Dimes was playing yesterday, but he should have had a blue jersey on. Because those interceptions were...
They shouldn't have played him yesterday.
They weren't even close.
They should not have played him yesterday.
We're looking at a possible 1-15 season right now.
They still have two with Philly. They have Washington. They have Miami. Who? I mean, my God,
how are they going to deal with Philly's defensive line at the moment?
Well, but they're not going to go 1-16. They will win another game this year.
No, I don't think so either. But I wouldn't throw Philly in there like it's going to be a cakewalk against Philly.
I don't think it's a cakewalk. But I mean, they do have. They're 2.5 point dogs this week. Vegas is telling you it wouldn't be a shock if the Giants won this game.
I can't wait to play this game with you. Because there's no one like, I'll never forget, we had the one segment where somebody tried to, it wasn't even a Stump Rothenberg segment, but it was like someone was trying to get you quick and asked you some like fugazi question about some team's offensive line, and you banged out off like 5 no problem. With your own team, I don't know if that's going to be possible today.
We'll play. When are we playing this little doozy?
Oh, it's going to be a doozy. You're going to be like, what is this?
What time is this segment happening?
You tell me. It's any excuse to have a little game show activity.
A game show and some levity. Yes. How about 6:30?
Perfect.
Okay. Let me put it in my planner. 800-919-3776. So 6:30, we'll find out if these are real people or made up Giants. 6:45, we go around the league. 7:15, we have the Frenzy. 7:35, Rex Ryan. This is going to be a very cathartic and busy show today. So hop on board, 800-919-3776. Now, the NHL is back on ESPN. Don't miss our very own Rick DiPietro on the coverage all season long. You can find your favorite team streaming on ESPN Plus this season, including Avalanche and Capitals tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Again, that's the NHL streaming on ESPN Plus. Subscribe now. What is this all season long? When does your season actually start with ESPN?
I was supposed to start this week, but they heard the show and that I didn't send in my picks, so I got taken off coverage this week.
So when are you starting now?
I'm not sure now. It's up in the air. I don't know. They may just get rid of me. Who knows?
Why? Because you wouldn't submit your picks?
Yeah, apparently.
I didn't realize it was
such a big deal till you brought it up.
Well, you know what? They should have felt the way about it. I did everyone a service.
They did.
I'm not protecting people anymore, okay? I am a man on an island. And I'm backed into a corner, and I'm coming out swinging. Whether it's the group chat, whether it's your hockey predictions, whether it's I can't avoid Santiago. I can't avoid the guy.
There's a mute function. You're aware of this, right?
I don't know how to use that.
He doesn't know how to use it.
You think I know how to use that? This guy didn't know there was BCC, what that meant, until like 3 weeks ago. Think I know what the mute function is? I will say this. Can't the person that started the group chat remove me from the group chat?
Why would we remove you from the group chat? We love having you in the group chat.
Because I don't want to be on that group chat. I hate that group chat. I might change my number just to avoid being on the group chat. Please.
You mean Sherry might have to change your number.
Yeah, I might call AT&T. You know what? Please, sir, take me off the group chat. We don't know how to do that, Dave. Well, figure it out. I don't want it anymore.
I have a spam group chat. I need to get taken off my phone.
You're threatening me. Two things. One, I'd like the police to be involved and to deal with this Ray Santiago character. And two, get me out of the group chat, please. It was awful.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.